Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Angela Fitch, MD. Dr. Fitch is the president-elect of the OMA and co-director of the MGH Weight Center at Massachusetts General Hospital. In this series of podcasts, our experts discuss select articles from the latest version of Obesity Pillars, an open-access, online-only journal published by the OMA, committed to providing evidence-based research for healthcare clinicians in the field of obesity medicine. Today's featured article is entitled Obesity: Definition, Diagnosis, Bias, Standard Operating Procedures, and Telehealth. And today's topic is bias. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association and editor of Obesity Pillars. We are fortunate today to have with us Dr. Angela Fitch. Angela, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Harold, thank you so much for having me. I'm Dr. Angela Fitch. I am the president-elect of the Obesity Medicine Association, and I am the co-director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Weight Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Half of my time is spent clinically seeing patients with obesity. The other half of my time is spent as the co-director of the Weight Center. We have a multidisciplinary weight center with surgeons, psychologists, dietitians, health coaches, vast array of psychologists and other staff members that help us to care for people with obesity throughout their entire lifespan, from pediatrics to adulthood. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, look, I think it's great that you just have such a wealth of clinical experience. But the other thing that maybe most people know, but maybe not everybody knows, is you were first author in one of the clinical practice statements from the Obesity Medicine Association, published in Obesity Pillars just recently this year. And it was entitled Obesity Definition, Diagnosis, Bias, Standard Operating Procedures, and Telehealth. So that was just like a lot of stuff you had kind of crammed into this publication. And one of the things that I was struck is that right at the beginning of this article was this definition that, as you know, we crafted many, many years ago, where obesity is defined as a chronic, progressive, relapsing, and treatable multifactorial neurobehavioral disease, wherein an increase in body fat promotes adipose tissue dysfunction and abnormal fat mass physical forces, resulting in adverse metabolic, biomechanical, and psychosocial health consequences. So I feel like that's a very good definition. It took us years to come up with it, but I think it just really crystallizes why obesity is a disease from a pathophysiological standpoint. But for the folks out there, why do you think it was important that we establish from the very beginning, starting with that preamble to your publication, why did you feel it was so important to define obesity as a disease?
Well, Harold, as you know, that's the title of our podcast, right? Obesity, a Disease. And I think it's so important because obesity for so long has been thought of as a moral character flaw, as the ability to just not have enough willpower, you know, to control one's lifestyle. And we now know so much more about adiposity, right? That it's really about the adipose tissue and the biological interactions between the brain, the gut, the adipose tissue, the pancreas, you know, this whole complicated obesity disease process. And it's so important for the world and for patients and for medical providers, for everyone, you know, to really accept this as a disease and treat it as a disease, for the disease to actually, you know, be treated, because for so long it just has been undertreated because of its lack of recognition.
I'm hearing some undertones here. What I'm hearing from you is that under-recognized, underappreciated, not characterized as a disease and such. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I'm hearing is that in the past and even today, might be some bias against patients with obesity. Would I be correct in making that assumption?
Very much so. And that's why we included bias in this clinical practice statement, because it does go along with the fact that even though the American Medical Association, you know, declared obesity a disease in the not so far past, right, in 2013, which, you know, we've known it's been a disease for quite longer than that. And still, even people themselves, I talked to a patient on the phone yesterday that called me about a side effect of her medication. And she's like, you know, she went back to several times, you know, I just feel like this is my fault that I have obesity. That, you know, I shouldn't have to take medication for obesity. And, you know, nobody likes to take medication. No one wants to have a disease in the first place. But we have to recognize that there are treatable ways to make things better, right? To accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, which is to make disease go away. That's what medicine is. And that's why we exist. And there are multiple ways of doing that today in all diseases, right? There's surgery, there's chemotherapy and or pharmacotherapy, we would call it in obesity. And then there's lifestyle factors, and all of those things have to come together and play a role, but we have to get away from this bias and stigmatized nature of the fact that it's just all about eat less and exercise more. And if you can't do that, it's your fault.
Well, why don't you give the folks some practical guidance? Because I know you did that in the article. Let's say, for example, you're a clinician, you got a medical practice, whether or not it's a obesity medicine practice or not, it's really not relevant. I mean, the fact is, most people who see patients are going to see patients with the overweight and the obesity. So let's just take, say, for example, the waiting room. What are just some basic, simple things that folks can do, clinicians can do in their medical practices to alleviate this bias and alleviate the uncomfortableness that many of our patients have with obesity just right there in the waiting room? What can people do?
Exactly. And that's what we cover in this article in Obesity Pillars is, you know, the fact that having larger chairs, larger size chairs, you could have a bench, you know, so it's not so, you know, feeling like I'm sitting in a large chair, you know, right? So a longer bench where people can feel comfortable sitting. Things without arms. So having chairs without arms so that people aren't having to squeeze into something that is much smaller for their frame. You know, making it a welcoming place where you can also, you know, having larger size gowns, having a scale, things that are very basic, like having a scale that people can actually stand on and can actually weigh them, you know, that doesn't show them that their weight is sort of over the limit of the scale, which is extremely embarrassing for a lot of people. And also having, you know, larger size gowns and blood pressure cuffs that are appropriately fitting for people of larger size arms. I've seen so many times, you know, someone put a blood pressure cuff on somebody and it pop off because their arm is too large for the cuff. So these are basic things that we can do both in the waiting room and our office to make sure people with obesity aren't feeling as if they're being isolated in any way or shape or form and having bias or stigma against them.
Angela, thank you so much for this. And again, for clinicians that are interested, I'd encourage you to, you know, just go to Obesity Pillars website. It's Dr. Angela Fitch, first author of this clinical practice statement from the Obesity Medicine Association, talking about obesity definition, bias, standard operating procedures, and telehealth. I think it's a fabulous resource. And Angela, I just, you know, again, just really want to thank you for being on this podcast today. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, Harold, just that I hope one day we'll have a future that's free of obesity bias and where everybody can get the access to the care that they need.
Well, that's a good way to end it. Thank you very much. Again, my name is Dr. Harold Bays, and you've been listening to Obesity, a Disease.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.